Ready? Cool. All right. Hello, I'm Pastor Maurizio Mingardi. I pastor the Mount Zion Church of the Firstborn. I feel led to share this message concerning the present situation that we are facing today, both in Canada and all over the world. The title of this series is not just one message, it's a series of messages. It's called The Spiritual Side of COVID-19. See, many people that tries to deal with this just from a physical point of view, they miss the other side, which is the spiritual side. But those that try to also deal with that only on the spiritual side, they do not consider really what's happening and why this is happening. So I believe that we should have an integrated approach and look at both sides of the story to try to understand where we are at and what we should do. I believe that this is a time that we will remember in the future when this is going through. And I hope that we can grow from this as past the generations grew by dealing with the situations they've been in and they learn from them. See, this is a pandemic that we have never seen before, not in my lifetime, and I think not in many other lifetimes too. See, the statistics that people are being familiar with is really misleading. They are only the top of the iceberg that is actually there under the water that we cannot see. That was really, we had to be careful about that sometimes external appearances are misleading. Now, I kind of feel that this is as a parallel in the Bible, and the confusion that is coming out from what's taking place is similar to me what happened with the Tower of Babel. There was a great confusion. The great confusion came because people were doing things that God did not approve. Now, let's see more specifically about this confusion that I'm talking about. First of all, believers are confused. I really find painful to see how believers going home the extreme one direction or the other, and they don't really step back and see what's going on and come to some logical and constructive conclusion based on the word. You see, some people say, "Oh, I'm afraid, I don't know what to do." And they are distraught, they are fearful. And they have no spiritual strength to stand against what's going on. Others react to that kind of a statement and say, "Oh, you don't have faith, we are protected by the blood." But really, if you look at what they are saying, they don't have a clue of what they're facing. See, others just don't know and don't are confused because they get different messages from everywhere else. Who is right? Well, I'm asking you not to jump to conclusion without considering the whole picture and the whole counsel of God. See, before we come to quickly make a decision, I believe we should look at the evidences and see and have from there be able to draw a conclusion or an informed decision about that. Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers his steps." I think we should consider our steps and have some wisdom because, as Proverbs says, wisdom is everything. Believers are supposed to have the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. You know, there are many voices before they were saying something is going to happen because of the world situation. And we've been heeding to them. I've been listening. I've been preparing. These voices were coming not just from believers or weren't just for prophetic voices, even from the world. But doesn't seem to me that did much good, because what is happening today was something that was not expected by many. See, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, he will guide us into all truth. If we listen, we are not going to be confused. If we listen, we can be witnesses when the time comes that we know and we can handle the situation and we can go through in victory. See, there are many scriptures, and we cannot just take one scripture to come to some conclusion. We have to take the whole counsel of God. Otherwise, what we can do is sometimes make complete mistakes and really miss what God is trying to tell us. You know, when the devil tempted Jesus, in Matthew 4:6, he said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, you shall not give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Psalm 91:11-12 is taken. So the devil was actually using scriptures to tempt Jesus. I believe that many believers today take scriptures out of context, out of the context we are in, and they are used by the devil to deceive them and confuse them. See, Jesus said in response to that, "It is written, you shall not live of bread alone, but every word, you shall not tempt the word, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." He also said what I said before. Now, the Holy Spirit is not going to make you do things that are going to hurt you. You know, some people think that to show their faith, they had to handle snakes, because the scripture says that they shall handle snake or drink poison. Well, that's complete stupidity and ignorance of the scriptures. See, the simple, Proverbs 14:18 says, "Inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge." See, we have to be aware, not just one scripture, and make it the whole thing, the whole direction of God. We have to take the whole counsel of God to be guided and directed. See, but the problem is not just with just believers. We see even confusion in the ministry. Believers, you know, really hear opposite direction from the ministry. Some say that this is God's wrath for the sins of the world, but we must pray against sin. Others say, you know, just say a little prayer, cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, and that's going to be enough. Everything is going to be okay. You know, even so-called prophet says, this will be over sooner than you think. I'm sorry. These people don't know what they're talking about. Prayer is not a magic formula. Prayer is coming in contact with God and receiving direction from him so that we can do the things that put us in the place for receiving from him. So, you know, some, as a result of this teaching that they are exposed, some says, "Well, you know, it's wrong that believers don't come together on Sunday, because Sunday is the day of the Lord and we should get together and worship." You know, sound to me like the Pharisees. They were mad at Jesus because he was healing on the Sabbath day and was doing work that wasn't supposed to be done, according to them. You know, there is a difference between faith or foolishness. And that's the problem that we are experiencing in many places. The problem, Lord, is not that we don't need to have faith. The problem is when we expect others to have the faith that we have, if we have it in the first place. You know, people don't get faith because a minister one day come to service and get them all worked up with some scriptures, and they go out and they had the faith to stand when they're in the world. It just doesn't happen that way. You know, I can remember John G. Lake was a man of faith. He was in South Africa when the plague there, I think it was 1918 or something like that, was an epidemic there. And people were dying all over the place. Well, he felt that he could minister to them. And actually he did. He was there, you know, helping the people that were working on health, the people that were working with it, you know, to take the dead body and put them away. And the medical profession, without any precaution, the medical profession thought it he was insane, and that he said, well, I'll show it to you. He put some blood of, they asked to put some blood of one of these, the pus that was coming from one of these dead person, put it in his hand, put it under the microscope, and all the microorganism and bacterial infection there was dying in his hand. Great. This shows the power of God. But not everybody has that power. And he didn't ask his congregation to do that. He did it himself. That's a big difference. We don't bring glory to God by trying to show things that we don't have. Don't tell me the whole congregation is going to have the faith to receive and that power manifested in their life to be able to walk free from infections when they're involved there. Or you can encourage them, but you are not going to say or expose them to a situation in which they can be exposed. It's actually only their choices, not yours, to do as a minister. This is being religious and not having faith. The difference here, you know, it's just an example of what we are talking about in some places. That's why believers are really blind, leading the blind with that kind of teaching that they receive. See, biblical perspective must take place of consider all the aspects of the counsel of God, not just what we want, what we hope, what we agree mentally with. Now, you know, it doesn't stop there. The same confusion is even in the medical profession. If you can see, have seen in the last few weeks, they have been changing their recommendation from day to day. And you wonder, you know, what's going to come next? And everybody is more confused because they really expect that the doctors will know. The fact is, that's not the case for a number of reasons. Number one, doctors are not epidemiologists. They don't understand these things. You have to go to a specialist today that knows about these things, and he will tell you completely different stories, as we have seen some already doing so, you know. Second, doctors, they haven't been in a situation like that before. This is new. This is different. And so they don't know themselves what to do. And so when they see the situation, instead of getting better, get worse, they are going to tighten up the requirements for you to follow. The thing is, if you understand how this kind of disease spread, if you understand how the dynamic of the spread takes place, if you understand the parameters that are involved in this situation, it becomes very clear the type of things that you have to do. And those things are not really easy to do and not very convenient for most of the people. Not very, I would say, almost politically correct, because it's not going to be correct, some of the things that we had to do according to the mentality of the world today. See, that was my reaction. I had that initially, oh, this is another cold. Well, my idea changed drastically when I heard a doctor that came back from China, and he didn't say any giving any recommendation or anything. The only thing he did was to describe the characteristics of this disease. Now, I happen to have worked myself with statistics and dynamic modeling, the same thing that epidemiologists do. And I immediately, without anybody telling me anything, came to the conclusion, we are missing the boat. We are not taking the measure that we should when we had the possibility to do so. Then, one night, the Lord woke me up and kept me awake all night to show me what potential, what kind of things can happen in this situation, in this, with the present situation. And I felt, I didn't like what I heard, and I felt compelled to write an analysis that is published on our website about the things that we are going to be developing. And that was before things start to tighten up here in Canada. And not long after, and I started to pray that actually the people in authority, people in the government, the medical profession will start understanding that if they don't do something now, it's going to be too late. And maybe, I don't know, I praise the Lord that not long after, people started to tighten up slowly, for me, far too slowly, the requirement and the recommendation that people should follow. Basically, at the moment, the only way to stop what is going on is isolation, if we like it or not. The more we come in contact with one another, the more we are going to spread the thing. And this is not only at a local level or regional level or national level. This is at a world level. This is a pandemic. It's not something that happened in a little place. It's spread all over the place already. And to control what's happening in different countries is very much unlikely to be able to be done on the short term. Now, let's try to put things, you know, let's believe that everybody is going to start implementing strict rule of personal contact with one another, avoiding any possibility for a contagion and so on. And let's believe that this is going to be done by all the nations, which I think is a bit hypothetical, but Let's believe that. Let's believe also that they are succeeding in developing some way to cure, or to at least do some preventive, you know, development, so that people don't get it through immunization. The thing is, we have no immunity against this virus. No matter if, you know, it's the same family as cold, big deal. You know, the family doesn't count. It's the way it operates and what it does to you. This is highly contagious, as nothing that we have found before, and is communicated very easily from person to person. Too easily, even when the symptoms are not there. Remember what happened when the white people came to North America, and the natives were exposed to the measles. Thousands of them died because of their lack of immunity. Now, let's look at it from a different point of view. I believe that this is even more important to realize what is going on. You see, I'm not going to go into all the theological aspect of it, because that's going to take far too much. But, you know, I hear people, preachers say, well, you shouldn't fear, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Well, number one, that's a very simplistic translation of the verse. The verse says, actually, God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear of people, but of power and love and a sound mind, which is different. He's not talking about that you shouldn't have fear. Actually, fear has a purpose. Now, when you panic and you lose your mind, doesn't help you very much. But fear has the purpose of preserving or saving you from situation in which you should not be in. If you admit you're in front of a roaring lion or a car speeding toward you and you are not afraid, you are crazy. I mean, you are a fool. See, you do something to change the situation, and fear is a strong motivation to do something, either fight or flight. And this is important. This is a preservation thing that God put inside us. Fear is damaging when there is nothing that you can do about it, and you go around allowing that fear to work in you and to mobilize your activities. Fear has a purpose and was given to us as a way to protect ourselves. When you are fear about something, look at the fear and do something about the situation. If you're afraid of the future, sometimes, you know, fear is undecided. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know. You're afraid of things. Well, you have a problem, and you have to make some wise decision. Make a wise decision. Get closer to God. Don't be stupid. Pray for direction. The fear is going to go. You can use scripture when you do that. If you do still the crazy things that you were doing before, don't think that quoting scripture is going to do anything, because you are going to be the same problem over and over and over again. Other people have fear of rejection. Well, deal with your insecurity. Be loving, understanding, and compassionate to other people. And you start the experiences that God loves you, and you will find out that even as you love God and you're closer to Him, you get closer to people and you're more compassionate with them. Plus, the Bible talks also about another fear. The really thing is the most important fear, and it's something that we should have, and it's the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." See, I recently thought about this topic, which not very many people talk about, because people don't like to hear it. But you know, we sometimes don't like to take some medicine that is good for us, and we should take it because it's going to help us. So we end up staying the problem and we are not resolving it. And this often, far too often, that happens. See, in Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" See, the idea is you get closer to God. That's all about the fear of the Lord. Get closer to God, care about your spiritual walk, your relationship with Him, and you won't fear anything because you know that God is with you. See, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the position you're going to get, not because you're quoting scriptures, but because you are following your shepherd. And then you remind yourself that He is your shepherd if you forget it. See, Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Hallelujah. "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So this is really dealing with the issues of fear completely. I mean, fear is not overcome just simply because we don't want it. It is uncomfortable. And, you know, fear is overcome by getting closer to the strength that we should have spiritually and that is going to be reflected physically in us. See, in Psalm 28, I want to stretch another scripture here. Verse 1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursue, but the righteous are bold as a lion." You know, that doesn't mean that we have to go around and be bold because, you know, we are righteous. It means simply that, you know, when, see, bold as a lion, it's interesting, doesn't mean that we are arrogant. Doesn't mean that we think we got it. You know, means simply that it's the righteous that are bold as a lion. And not because of their self, but because of what they have inside. See, the righteousness doesn't come from our own strength. It comes from trusting in Christ. See, you yourself doesn't give you boldness before God. You yourself and you, and being even right doesn't put you in a position of victory. It's you depending on God that give you victory. Hallelujah. See, in Psalm 91, verse 13, which we should all know, says, "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." You see, here is using the symbol of lion not as something good, but as something bad. The young lion is really the one that is arrogant, thinking that he has the whole strength. It's a spirit there of, you know, the opposite of dependence on Christ. When we walk close with Christ, there is no reason for us to fear anything in the physical world and in the spiritual world. We are strong. Let me read to you another scripture. Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" The following verse, 6. "So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fear. I'm a helper, I shall not fear. What can man do to me?'" See, this is really the bottom line of all our courage and our lack of fear. That the Lord is with us. And that's the way we are going to be not afraid. Because we are aware. Because we have that relationship. Because we have the strength in us spiritually to stand when things that are stronger and bigger than ourselves come against us, because we know that the bigger one is in us than one is in the world. See, we can stand. Hallelujah. See, we have to remember one thing, that the word of God doesn't promise us that we will have no trouble, but he promises us that he's going to be with us in trouble. In, again, Psalm 91, verse 14, that is the psalm in which, you know, there is the protection of being, you know, under the shadow of the Almighty, being connected with God. You know, that's the essence, that's the key, that's the victory that we receive. Psalm 91, verse 14 says, because he has set his love upon me. See, there is a reason for that to happen. Therefore, I will deliver him and I will set him on high, because he has known my name. That means he knows the way he is. It's the way he works. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. You see, evidently, from these verses, you can see that it doesn't say that everything is going to be okay all the time. It just says that when we are in trouble, we can call upon him, and he's going to be there to help us. And we don't need to fear, because he is our protector. We are under his wings. He is the one that takes care of us. Now, by itself, just applying this principle, this idea, should give us strength to deal with any situation comes our way. Whenever situation comes that seems to overwhelm us, we have to remember these promises. We have to remember what he has done. We have to draw from our spirit the strength that God has given us and promises us in his word. And he will always be there to enable us to overcome. Jesus said it very clearly in John chapter 14, verse 27, says, peace I give to you, my peace I give to you, not as the world give do I give to you. See, now it's not necessarily a physical peace around us. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, you have a part we play. We have a part. And the part is that we have to learn to be connected with him, make sure that we are connected with him, and not just play religion. Make sure that we have that relationship with him and we are obedient to him, so that he is close to us. He never leaves us, but the thing is, often we leave him. And this is what we have to realize and be conscious of. Because when we do that, his protection is gone. We can see this very clearly in history. If we even look at the Bible and look at the history of Israel that is described there, see, they went through cycles. There were cycles in which they were blessed. And because they were blessed, they forgot about God. They got influenced by the world around them. The influence made them first accept, then reject God's principles. The nations had an effect on the way they're behaving, and they, you know, see life, saw life, and everything else. And as a result of that, they end up choosing the way of the world instead of God's ways. And as a consequence of that, all the time, they got in trouble. Now, you see, the pattern is clear. You cannot walk with God if you are influenced and conformed to the world. When you go astray, sooner or later, trouble comes. Then they repented, and they got restored and blessed, because God is always there, loving us and wanting to minister to us. This cycle didn't happen once, it happened over and over again. You might say, well, but that was Old Testament. Where is a different relationship between us and God? Well, yep, true. God doesn't change. We should be changed. We should get smarter than they were. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to us to give us direction. Are we listening? That's the point. And we are going to see in a minute that often that's where the problem is. You see, God's spiritual laws, first of all, says God doesn't change. It's all over the Bible. It's always the same God. Not only that, but God established spiritual laws that are just as valid, even more valid than physical laws. If the law of gravity was true in the Old Testament, even if they haven't defined it yet, as today, the law that was valid in the Old Testament are still valid today because they don't change. One of those laws is the law of sowing and reaping. This is a basic thing that affects not only the spiritual realm, but the physical realm as well. See, the problem, people separate the two, when instead you really can't, because the physical world is the result of the spiritual world. And the thing is very simple. You know, you guys can go in the Old Testament, and some of the things that are said there are applying today 100%. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. And I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendant may live. The following verse 20 says, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to you, your father, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That part necessarily applies to us, but says to give them. So you see, God tells very simply, you choose. You know, don't blame him for your choices. If you walk off the roof, don't blame him. If you break your neck, if you don't obey God and do things that are foolish, there are consequences. Law of sowing and reaping. God is not the source of our problems. God is the source of our blessings, because he went out of his way to restore us when men fell at the beginning. You know, in James chapter 1 says very clearly, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, no shadow of turning. Of his own, he brought us forth with the word of truth, that we may be the kind of first fruit of his creation. You know, God wants to bless us, but he cannot bless us if we go our way. He doesn't need to do anything. It's what you do that produces results. He put in place laws that are just and laws that are fair. And he even went out to help us around that by sending Jesus, because by ourselves we would have never made it. See, just praying and claiming for protection and reading a few verses is not make things change. Things change when you make the right choices and you start obeying God. You know, it's not magic. It's laws that God has established forever. You know, it's people that say, well, you know, everything is going to be okay. You know, just pray. What? You have to see how you pray. That makes the difference. You know, just praying and claiming stuff works only in certain conditions, and you have to understand the conditions. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close, I think, for today with some scriptures from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. So, because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone dealt falsely. They have also healed the hurt of the people, of my people, slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. I feel that this applies so much today to our situation and to our church today. And I'm going to see in detail why I'm saying that. See, we were ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, we were not at all ashamed, nor will they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall, and at the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the way and see, and ask for the rest of your soul. And but they said, we will not walk in it. So the idea is simple. When we follow God, we are protected. When we apply the law and the principles and the word of God to our life, it becomes effective and our prayer is answered. Now, if we look at today, and I'm going to take a break now, we should see and realize that we need a miracle. We need God to move supernaturally one way or another to shorten what is going on. And there is only one way. And that way is prayer. And that way is getting back to God. And that way is getting closer to God. That way is obeying God. When we do that, things are going to change. And God is going to intervene supernaturally, because His people are taking the responsibility to do something about the situation. Now, my next message, I will talk about looking at today's situation and why I believe that the scripture I was saying and some of the scripture that I'm going to show applies to us, and how they direct us to do what to do next, to change what's happening and to see God's help and hand moving to change what you're experiencing today. So let me finish with prayer today for now. Father, thank you. We thank you for your word. We humble ourselves before you and we ask you that, Lord, you open our eyes and open our hearts, that we may come before you, Lord, to receive the direction that we, each one of us, need today. Lord, that we may be able to hear what you say to each one of us today, the things that we have to change, both in our lives and in the way we deal with the things around us. That we, Lord, may be able to respond to your will, and that we may know, Lord, that in you and in your word, we can have peace, we can have victory, we can have protection, we can have healing, we can have everything that we need, not only in a difficult situation, but everywhere we are in everything we do. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.